And a very happy Wednesday morning, everybody. Wednesday, March 15, 2023. It's the Daily Cruise and Travel News Podcast. It is brought to you by the Snood Factory, www.thesnoodfactory.com. I am Tom Drake, the guru of the seas. I am sailing alone this week. The Drake is off until Monday. I want to welcome you to the podcast on Humpback Wednesday. I'll tell you about that more in a minute. I'll get it right. I'm not retaping today. This is really going to be a completely live podcast. There'll be no trickery. No trickery on a Wednesday on this Humpback Wednesday. Before I get to what the hell that's about, quick note, I've added something new. Actually, I didn't. My friend Jay at the Podcast Playground added something new. If you get to this podcast through social media, many people do, they get it from Facebook or from Twitter or from LinkedIn. When you go to the show page, there's a little extra now called subscribe. If you hit that subscribe button on the show page, another company called Blueberry will actually send you an email every morning. Every morning, the minute I put the podcast up, they will fire off an email. Now, I have a subscription list. You can stay on that if you want, or you can go to the new list. It's easier for me if you go to the new list, but it's really easy. I'm subscribed to. I subscribe to my own podcast. Why not? I have an ego. It's easy. You see it. It says subscribe, and you put in your email address. And every day, they'll pop you an email, which will have today's podcast plus the previous days. It'll all be there. Check it out. It's on the show page, which is available through all of my social media links, which would be Facebook and Twitter what's the other one? LinkedIn. So there you go. It is Humpback Wednesday. Why is it Humpback Wednesday? Because everybody usually calls it Hump Day. Because my friend Harry sent me an email. And Harry's in love with the oceans, like my good friend Dr. Dave. And they are concerned about fish and things like that. I'm not real concerned about it. I'm just concerned whether or not they put the coffee and the Zambuca together correctly with a twist of lemon. But Harry mentioned it. Why not make it Humpback Wednesday because of these beautiful fish, not even fish, right? They're mammals. I looked it up. I'm becoming what I know. I sometimes call lectures I see on the high seas sometimes Wikipedia wonders. So they just basically go on Wikipedia, read everything, and give it to you, and you fall asleep while you're watching the lecture. Humpback whales, did you know this? They're found in oceans and seas around the world. In fact, the humpback whale are very similar to a cruise ship guest. Now, I didn't call you a humpback, but they're very similar because the humpbacks will travel almost 10,000 miles a year. They're all over the place. Look for something. They're not sure, but when they find it, they know they found it. They were looking for it. No, the humpback is looking for something to eat and something to sleep with, because the humpback, they're promiscuous breeders. Now, I can honestly say I've met anybody on Oceania or other cruise lines I worked that are promiscuous breeders, but indeed the humpback are, and they both sexes have multiple partners. This almost is the logo for Virgin Voyages. Instead of the mermaid on the side of the ship, they should have a giant horny humpback. Hey, Harry's right. I can have fun with this. It's Horny Humpback Wednesday. Don't get carried away, people. Just finish your coffee, get dressed, and go play golf. Don't be looking at the wife like a humpback. All right, go ahead and roll the music. All right, so before we get going with the first story of the day, I forgot to mention this in the opening prior to when we rolled the music. If you would like to reach out to me, I do have an email address now for this podcast. It's called thedrakepodcast@gmail.com, thedrakepodcast@gmail.com. That was a great idea, but it's causing me some angst, some stress, because I'm discovering all these people listening to the podcast, and they're sending me suggestions and notes, and you're more than welcome to do that. But now, this started out as just something to do. It was just a thing to do. And as my friend Toby said, it's become a thing. And now the thing is causing me some stress, because now I worry, was it a good thing yesterday? Will it be a good thing today? It started with nothing. I started this 3 years ago just goofing around with my friend John Ferrantino. We had a YouTube TV show, and then I did video updates, and all of it was nothing. I didn't worry about it. It was just something to do, but it was really, now nothing has become a thing. And I hope every day you're enjoying the thing, because now I feel people are listening to it. They look forward to it, which is that's a scary thing. But there's a lot of things going on. And, it's an ironic thing, too, because how many times can you use thing on a Humpback Wednesday? Harry sends me a message about the humpback whale. And what do you think? I go, how this thing works is I depend on all of these websites who really do all of the heavy lifting. Maritime Executives, SeaTradeCruise.com, CruiseIndustryNews.com, Travel Weekly, Cruise Hive, Cruise Critic, Cruise Fire, Cruise Hemorrhoid. There's a blog post. Everybody's got a blog. And they're all basically telling the same story. My thing is that I try to do something with the story and make it not just interesting, but informative and fun. And because I really struggle with this thing, because who cares what I think? Then last night, I'm flipping channels from Fox to MSNBC to CNN and back, and there are all these talking heads, and they're all talking about something, and they don't know what they're talking about. And I'm thinking, they're getting paid a lot of money. They're on cable television, and they're talking about things that they really don't know any about. You know, oh yeah, some guys are experts because they went to college for 900 years or something. I worry about this thing. Now, having said that, and wasted so much of your time just trying to use the word thing as many times as I could, I do this story about the humpback whale. It's not a story. It's like I'm learning about the humpback whale. I didn't know that they slept around. Did you know the humpback whales are promiscuous breeders? They're like 40-ton sluts, right? And I'm not doing a carnival joke there. You know I was going to go there. I'm not doing it. I'm trying to fly a little looser with this thing, but I don't want to be that. I don't want to be as loose as they are. There's a problem with the orca whales in the Strait of Gibraltar. I did not know this. There are very aggressive orca whales, and they're getting confused. Very much like the humpback, the orcas like to sleep around a little bit too, and they're confusing the rudder on a sailboat for something else, because there's a group of whales, orcas, in the Strait of Gibraltar that are attacking sailboats. This is scary. I don't even like to be on 30,000-ton ships anymore. Give me one that's 100,000 tons. A little weight behind me, a little. But these orcas, it just happened again the other day. There was a sailboat going through the Strait of Gibraltar, and they had to be rescued. Three orcas. Turns out they're from the same pod, from the wrong side of the sea. And they're young. They're teenage orcas. They're like orca gangbangers. And they see this sailboat, and one says to the other one, yeah, that's how they speak. There's probably orca rappers out there. You can probably get a CD somewhere on Spotify or iTunes, the very famous orca rapper music. Wow, is this guy full of coffee this morning? But anyway, if you're in the Strait of Gibraltar on a cruise ship, maybe you'll get lucky and you'll see a... because Americans are like that. Yeah, I wonder if we'll see a sailboat get attacked while we're here. Get the camera ready. Come on, don't miss it. No, seriously, they've done this before. It turns out the pods, they're all teenage males, and from research surveys, they've been identified as a Gladys Black, a Gladys White, and a Gladys Gray. And certainly not, they're not Gladys to see you, because they don't want you in the Strait of Gibraltar, and these guys come up and they whack the hell out of your rudder and you're stuck, and they kind of surround, it was scary. I looked at a video just now. It's kind of scary, like the movie from the movie, you know, the, can't think of the name of that movie right now. What was the name of that movie? You'll fill it for me. Somebody send me an email. But anyway, how weird is that? We went from the humpback whale, which is hump, you know, I guess that's, I thought the humpback whale was because of the back. I think it's because of all the time. That's why they're called the humpback whale. And now the orcas, these are like wild fish gangbangers. Tom, get out of this story now. All right, so as I'm going through the pile here, and let me explain what that means. Normally, I would prepare this podcast all on my laptop computer, no paper, because I'm trying to save the planet by next Tuesday, like the rest of the cruise industry. But it's inconvenient that way. So I have paper in front of me. I have a pile of stories. And I know what you're thinking. This whole podcast is a pile. You're right. I have a pile of stories. And normally, if I was using my laptop, they'd all be in a row and I have to follow that, because it would be confusing. I'm easily confused, especially on a humpback, to go up and down. But now I'm in front of me, so I can grab a story and we'll see what happens. It's got, you can hear them here, you know. So this one, I've talked in the past about the Cuban refugees. I am a closet liberal, so to speak. Not, you know, I'm not wearing a dress right now. Get over it. But everybody deserves a break, and I especially feel that way about the Cuban people, because they have to come across 90 miles or 92 miles of water to get here. They're not humping across the border in Texas, Arizona, which is difficult, don't get me wrong, but that's not anywhere near as difficult, especially when you're probably getting bussed from Honduras up to the border. It's not as difficult as getting in a man-made boat, which is made out of balsa wood, and trying to get to Florida Keys and to Miami. And sadly, and I think you all know this, they don't get to stay. There's no asylum there. They're returned as soon as they get here, they'd be returned. Or if they get rescued, which is the story, Celebrity Millennium rescued 35 Cuban refugees that were in a dangerous situation with the boat they had. 35 jammed on a small boat trying to get to America to find a better place. I am not doing some kind of a religious speech here, but damn it, if they make it that far, let them stay. That's how desperate they are. That's how hard they want to work. Let them stay. All right. Besides, we need more people that are desperate to live in the United States that want to work that hard, take those chances to get to the United States. Let the Cuban refugees come in and take some of these ungrateful little sons of that march and complain and whine and moan and kvetch and bitch and put them on a boat, send them back, let them live in Cuba. Just like that basketball player that got stuck in Russia who hated the United States until we had to drag her out of here. I don't know how this turned into a political statement, but I do get fired up about this. Anyway, the Celebrity Millennium, they saw these people in distress, they picked them up. But I feel bad. Doubly bad. Is that grammar? Doubly bad because they didn't get to at least come to the U.S. They didn't even see it. They were picked up and then they dropped them off in St. Martin because that was the next stop on the cruise. So they got dropped off in St. Martin, which I am certain. Now, maybe they get lucky. Maybe they'll let them stay. Maybe they can immigrate into St. Martin. I couldn't find that in the story. That would be very cool. I mean, you got Orient Beach. St. Martin's is one of my favorite destinations. Even the French side, if I'm stuck. Maybe they get to stay. Otherwise, they're going to get sent back to Cuba. Sadly, I don't know how they don't know this. They talk about trying to keep people from making the trip up from Honduras and Venezuela and Central America to come in through Texas. Nobody's telling the Cuban people, look, babe, they were allowed. Bill Clinton signed an executive order, the Feet Dry Order, but President Obama rescinded that after he made a backroom deal with the Royal Crown. Call me on if you want, but he made this deal with Castro. I don't know what it was about, but somehow the Cubans got told, not coming anymore. Anyway, the really reason I'm doing the story is because this was in Cruzhive. Cruzhive.com. I talked about that blog site. They add their own particular opinion in there, much like I do, and they made mention that they're trying to find a better life, and I agree. But they also mentioned that the Celebrity Millennium is not the first celebrity ship to rescue Cuban refugees. They were also rescued by the very famous captain of the Celebrity Beyond, who's like now the William Shatner of the cruise industry, Captain Kate McHugh, and the famous ugly bald cat. If you're not familiar with that, Celebrity has a female captain, and she's wonderful. She's a United States citizen, U.S. captain. It's unheard of in the cruise industry. A female. Oh, really unheard of. And very attractive. Comes in handy that way. I mean, seriously, if she looked like a orca whale, she wouldn't be on the cover of every magazine. But I was in the airport coming home Sunday from Austin. I'm sitting at the bar at the Admiral's Club, which I've said already. American Airlines should be ashamed of that whole Admiral's Club. It's dreary and disgusting. It really is. It's shad. Everybody jammed in. We look like Cuban refugees sitting. All the chairs jammed together. No space at all. Ridiculously small. And I'm sitting at the bar and a guy comes up and he's ordering some stuff. We get to talk and he just got off the Celebrity Beyond. And I'm not kidding. You can pose for pictures, or you get a picture, not just with the captain, with the ugliest cat you've ever seen. You should look this up. You know, cats are cute. Not this thing. This thing is scary. This is, I don't know what you would call this thing. And he told me, he got a backstage tour, a behind-the-scenes tour, where you went where the crew area is. There's actually a mural of the cat. They've painted a mural of the cat in the crew area, so every day when the cat... When the crew is going to work, they get a chance to look at this cat. And they look at this ugly cat and go, well, I shouldn't have to worry about doing my hair, huh? Why should I worry about wearing makeup? Look at that thing. The cat has his own mural on Celebrity. See, if you spend enough time at bars, you'll find out this useless information yourself. Let's see. There's crinkling the paper. Yes, sir. Crinkling the paper on a Humpback Wednesday. Before I get to the next story in the pile, I'm going to reveal something. Ooh, boy, what's going on here? He's revealing something. Nah, calm down. What's wrong with you people? I do tape it early in the morning. Usually I begin this about 6 a.m., sometimes 5:30 in the morning. It takes a while for the editing and all the other good stuff. And I wonder to myself, because no one else cares, I wonder myself, what am I thinking? Because this isn't like one of the morning shows where something might have happened in the middle of the night. This is the cruise and travel industry. Whatever happened has happened by 5 o'clock the day before or 6 o'clock the day before. So I am probably starting Monday moving this podcast. It'll still be every morning, but I will tape it the night before, and instead of saying happy Wednesday morning and lying to you, I will just say, and welcome to the Wednesday morning podcast or the Thursday morning podcast or the finally Friday podcast. But it'll be the same podcast, but I want to be transparent. I don't want to be deceitful. It didn't work. My first two marriages fell apart. Never mind, it's too personal. So you might hear that starting Monday. If I'm not saying it a very happy Monday morning, it's because I taped it on a happy Sunday afternoon. Now, why? Why would I do that? Why wouldn't I want to get up? I will get up with you. I will put it up early in the morning, but I can drink at night. I can't drink during the day. And you weren't around, not this early, you weren't around for the television show we used to have on YouTube and Facebook, but I did tape that at 10 o'clock in the morning. That was live at 10 in the morning, and I always had a coffee and Zambuca with a little muffin. Stevenelli will know all about this because my friend Stevenelli, who live in California and were listening to the show at 7 in the morning, they had one with me. And those were great times. And I don't know, I seemed, maybe it's a crutch, maybe I shouldn't talk about it because, you know, at my age, I probably shouldn't drink at all anymore. The doctors have been telling me that for a while, so I changed doctors. So you might hear that on Monday morning. You know, instead of hearing happy Monday morning with a gruff, hoarse voice, you might hear a happy drunk who taped it on Sunday night. I have talked a lot about Costa Cruises, and I've probably been misinformed and told you things that, in my opinion, I thought were right, and now they're wrong, because it was an article in the Maritime Executive. Now, this is an indication. This guy couldn't get interviewed by Travel Weekly. He couldn't get interviewed by Cruise Industry News. He's interviewed by MaritimeExecutive.com, which is a very, very fact-filled website that's as boring as watching paint dry. But Mario Zanetti is the president of Costa Cruise Lines. He got the job in the beginning of 2021. He was made the president of a cruise line in the middle of the pandemic. Nobody else wanted the job, I'm pretty sure. Well, I have been saying, hinting that I thought Costa would go by the wayside because Carnival Corporation really doesn't know what to do with it. But according to Mario Zanetti, the president of Costa, interviewed on the Maritime Executive website, you can go there and read the whole interview, it's not the case. Costa is very much a growing brand, a couple of the pieces have been sliced off because I've said in the past, Carnival is receiving two of the Costa ships, the Costa Firenze and another one that ends in E, because it's Italian, so everything has to have a vowel. But in any case, Mario Zanetti answered a lot of questions I had about what the hell is Costa. And according to Mario in an interview, a Costa cruise is a daily experience of pleasure filled with care and dedication. Now, this interview had to have been done through the internet. It wasn't done verbally. Is that the word I want? No one was interviewing him and talking to him because the words are so precise. It is the best set of BS I've ever read, but I don't mean it's wrong. It's just well done. It's eloquent, you know, eloquent. Like, I'm full of BS, but it's just not eloquent. This is eloquent. And this guy's Italian. English is not his first language. So there's no way this guy wrote this whole thing. I mean, they sent the questions through him, the email. He emailed the questions. And then he had to say, hey, you, the American boy, bring the girl. She's from New York, but she speaks a perfect English. Answer this for the guy. According to him, it's a daily experience filled with care and dedication. That's what Bob Kraft was trying to do a long time ago. Our proposition is a contemporary, well, maybe he did write this. Our proposition, because it's Italian. Every Italian has a proposition. Hey, I got a proposition for you, you know what I mean? Hey, you, sweetheart. Hey, you want a little proposition? A proposition is a contemporary product where guests can enjoy beautiful ships with bright and elegant rooms, menus by world-famous chefs, and this whole world-famous thing. I love this. What do you mean? Oceania has Jacques Pepin. Everybody has Guy Fieri. They all have these world-class chefs who design menus, and then the food is all cooked by six Indian guys from Mumbai. I don't understand it. Although, you ever go to a French restaurant in New York? See if there's a Frenchman in there cooking. Forget about it. They're all from Mexico. Anyway, he goes on to say, Acosta Cruz is an immersion. Here we go. Huh? You cannot have a press release without the word immersion. This podcast is an immersion. Oh, it's a pile, really. It's a pile of immersion. That's what it is. Acosta Cruz is an immersion in a unique international experience. And this is the problem with Costa. It's very multilingual. It's very much like MSC. MSC is dumping this in the United States because they'd have six different languages. You can't enjoy it. Everybody speaks a different language. You might as well just be in New York City and, you know, walking down the street. You can't enjoy yourself. Everybody's screaming and hollering in six different languages. It's like a really bad family reunion. It's an immersion. And, you know, the guests sail all over. He said, being Italian, most of the food, oh no, being Italian, the cuisine and wine selections are excellent. It's kind of braggadocio, don't you think? What's my point to this? I'm not going to drag it on. If you want to read the interview, it's quite interesting. He tells where they're going to go and what's going to happen. And where does he see the company in 5 years? Where I thought the company would be extinct, very much. Well, the humpback whale was almost extinct and it came back. Now there's humps everywhere. But he said in 5 years, I see the company well-established worldwide in the consumer's mind as a compelling choice for holidays in our core development areas, driven by our capabilities of offering unique, authentic, and amazing experiences every day of their journey. If he wrote that, but it's one of the well-prepared press releases I've ever met. You can go on Maritime Executive and read it for yourself. Do I have any time left? I got a pile of stories. It never fails. I have too much pile and not enough time. So these are going to have to wait till tomorrow. Here's the thing about it. Some of these stories are not, they're evergreen. Like jokes, they're absolutely evergreen, meaning that I could tell you the stories next week and it would be not, they wouldn't be important then. There's stuff. I did have one here. I could touch on it tomorrow. Celebrity has announced they put pickleball on all their ships. All their ships, well, nine of their ships, I should say, have pickleball courts. I did not know this. The cruise director on loan, who soon to go back to work, told me that Oceania has pickleball courts. If you don't know, pickleball is the happening sport now. It's a combination of badminton and tennis and backache, I think, is included in there. And I've told this story in the past. It was developed by in the state of Washington. And actually, this is really true. Pickleball is the state sport of the state of Washington. If you spend any time in Seattle where everybody is pickled, that doesn't surprise me at all. And it's actually named, pickleball is named after created the game. Like Abner Doubleday with baseball. Two couples in Washington, state of Washington, developed pickleball and they started playing it. They put up a badminton net. They used badminton net with the tennis rackets and a wiffle ball that became pickleball. And it's called Pickles because it's named after their dog. And their dog was like 20 years old and was constantly in pain and could barely walk. And that is exactly how the people who played the first pickleball game looked, and that's how most of the people who play it today look. Old and in pain and can barely walk, but they're out there smacking a wiffle ball, calling it a sport. Have a fun hump day, humpback day. Thank you, Harry. Thanks to everybody else for all your emails, suggestions, and links to stories. I got tons of them. The pile is getting bigger. That's scary. I'll talk to you tomorrow.